with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment, love one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have revealed to you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me. It was I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you. Love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. It's always a great joy for me to come back to St. Michael. 6 weeks ago, I had the chance to celebrate for the first time in my 16 years as a priest, Sunday Mass here, at the place where every Sunday I was serving, just like our servers do here, growing in faith. It always brings back all of those memories of the foundation for my priestly faith whenever I come through these doors. During my time as a seminarian, as a baby priest in Rome, and in frequent pilgrimages there since, I've had the great joy to take tens of thousands of people to St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican and open up for them the treasures of art and architecture and history that are found within. And you can't miss, once you enter St. Peter's Basilica, how many incredibly beautiful marble statues there are all the way throughout. Got statues of some of the greatest saints who have ever lived, the saints of the Counter-Reformation, the saints who had founded religious orders that continue to strengthen the church to today. But you've also got lots of statues of virtues. And the virtues are always depicted as women, which is something that women on this Mother's Day should smile about and men should get jealous over. The virtues are always depicted as women, because in the ancient mentality, women were far more stable than men. And then with particular characteristics for each of these virtues that would distinguish one from another. So the virtue of faith would have a crucifix. The virtue of contemplation would have a Bible looking up above. The virtue of divine justice would be a flaming sword with the foot of the virtue on the globe. And as I would lead people through the basilica, I'd try to impart to them the vision to be able to see what the people throughout the centuries were easily ready to pick up when they saw women depicted in this way. To be able to identify exactly what the virtue was. But at the very end of the tour, I would take everybody to Alexander the VII's tomb. He was the Pope in the middle of the 1600s. And his tomb was the last work of the greatest sculptor who has ever lived. His name was Gian Lorenzo Bernini. And it was an unbelievable meditation on prayer for eternity. And he had two virtues depicted. On the right side, he had the virtue of divine justice, that flaming sword, and he had his foot on the virtue's foot was on the world, and the big toe was stomping out a little island just off the coast of Calais, France, because Alexander the VII had tried to reconcile England back to the faith unsuccessfully, and so that was Bernini's little joke about God's punishment on England. But on the other side, I thought it was one of the easiest gimme questions of the entire tour. You would see a virtue depicted as a woman with three children, One, she was holding in her arms a fat little cherub. And then on both of her legs, she had other kids grasping. And I'd ask the pilgrims, by now veterans of these types of questions, what virtue do you think Pope Alexander VII wanted to be remembered by for what was placed on his left? And I'd hear someone shout out, patience! Okay, good guess, but no. Next one would say, kindness. Again, another good answer, but not true. The third would say, courage. But few would even get the answer, even when I gave them my old high school chaplain's hint. It begins with an L and ends with of. And then finally, the light bulb would go off, love. What used to be obvious over the course of the centuries is no longer obvious, even to Catholic pilgrims, that a woman with three children is meant to show the whole world the classic icon of love. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day in our country, and as Jesus speaks to us explicitly about love in the gospel, and we hear a commentary on it by St. John in the second reading, we need to focus on the real meaning of love and how motherhood, this image of a woman with three children, is meant to be one of the greatest and clearest examples of divine love in the middle of the world. Well, every day we should be grateful for our parents. Today is a special day when we thank our mothers for all their acts of love, big and small over the years, and we thank God for them. We thank our moms for loving us into existence, for caring for us in the womb, for feeding us with their breasts and by their hands, for clothing us, bathing us, teaching us how to walk, teaching us how to read, teaching us how to love, teaching us how to live according to our baptism, teaching us how to pray, and so much more. Today's the first day that I've been able to celebrate Mother's Day with the presence of my own mom here. I'm so grateful, Mom, for all that you did to teach me the faith. On this day, we have the chance to put into action what one modern saint called the sweetest commandment of them all, and unite the fourth commandment, honoring our father and mother, to the third commandment, keeping holy the Lord's Day, by together liturgically here, reverencing our moms, thanking them and thanking God for them. The gift and the beauty of motherhood has been part of God's plan from the beginning. What a great mystery is woman's participation in the ongoing creative work of God. God could have designed human reproduction in some other way than the way He did. But He wanted to involve His creatures, man and woman, in the greatest of His works. The creation of other human beings who are meant to live forever as their children and as God's children. Woman's participation in this great gift of bringing new life into existence is much more intimate than man's. It is in the woman that a newly conceived life grows. The woman is the sanctuary of the image and likeness of God growing within. The child is entirely dependent on the mother, and God trusts woman so much to entrust the greatest of all human gifts to her love. No wonder why Eve shouted for joy in the first recorded pregnancy in history, with sentiments that have been echoed by moms throughout the generations. I have given birth to a man with the help of the Lord. But God's plan for human motherhood was even more exalted than this. He wanted motherhood to share not just in creation, but in redemption. In the fullness of time, the Father sent His only beloved Son, the world's Redeemer, to be born of a woman. Jesus Himself entered the world just as we do, as the tiniest little embryo in Mary's immaculate womb. For 9 months, the eternal Word, the Son of God, was entirely dependent on His earthly mother, who carried Him within her, whose blood nourished Him, whose love prepared for Him a welcome place. Mary's motherhood not only participated in the work of redemption, but started it And every motherhood is meant to carry on this process of redeeming love. In motherhood, the woman learns how to love like God loves, and through motherhood, we all learn that lesson. The prophet Isaiah records for us what God's words were about his love for us, and he compares it to a mother's love. He asks, "Can a mother forget her infant? Be without tenderness for the child of her womb?" God asks that question because he knows the answer is, that's impossible. No, a mom could never not have that love or tenderness. And then God says, but even if a mom could, I will never forget you. That's what Jesus tells us in today's gospel. And we need to focus on these words, because so many of the self-esteem problems that people suffer today come because they don't grasp what Jesus tells us today. He says, just as the Father loves me, and there's no greater love than the love with which the Father loved the Son, just as the Father loves me, I love you personally, you individually. I would mount Calvary 1,000 times over and suffer 1,000 times worse a crucifixion for you. God loves us that much. And then he gives us the command, remain in my love. Don't run away from this love. Don't think you're unworthy of it. I love you. Then he tells us how to remain in his love. You'll remain in my love if you keep my commandments, just as I keep my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And then he gives us the greatest commandment of all. Love one another just as I am showing you. Love one another totally unselfishly. Love one another by laying down your life for another. And that's precisely what moms do. You know, just 2 weeks ago, we celebrated in the Catholic Church the feast day of St. Gianna Mola, an Italian pediatrician who died in 1962. After she was told that she was pregnant, a few weeks later, she got a diagnosis that her life was at risk because the pregnancy was tearing her uterus and it might lead her to bleed to death. And they advised her, they said, we could try to do surgery, but it would risk your life and the child's. We don't recommend at all that you take the pregnancy to term. What we really recommend that you do is you abort your baby. She said, I will never abort my baby. And if it's a real risk that my baby will die from surgery, let's wait it out and just keep monitoring it. Eventually, her case got more severe. But because she was a doctor, she had the best medical care that was available. At the very end, she was able to give birth to her baby. She didn't know whether it was going to be a boy or a girl. It turned out to be a girl, whom she called Giannina. But as she was being rolled on in for a cesarean section and then for all the other work that would need to be done on the inside if there was a rupture, she said, when I am under, if there's any doubt between saving my life or the life of my child, choose him. No question, choose him. She gave birth, she began to bleed to death, and she died on Good Friday. No one has any greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. She showed what real motherhood is in her willingness to give her own life so that her baby could live. And Giannina is now 53. There's another story just a couple years ago of Chiara Corbella, who was diagnosed with cancer when she was pregnant for the third time. She had lost the first two via miscarriage. And the doctor said, we need to start chemo right away, but the chemo will kill your baby. So we just recommend that we abort your baby. Chiara said, no, never. And so she gave birth to her young son, Francesco, and then they started brutal chemotherapy. Her life lasted for 1 year, after which she lost her eye and everything else. But before she died, she wrote a beautiful letter to her 13-month-old son, saying, I'm going to heaven to care for Maria and David, his two older siblings who had died in miscarriage. But I want you to stay here with Dad and know that I will always be praying for you. What tremendous witnesses Gian and Chiara are for all those moms who laid down their lives for their children, who sacrifice not necessarily their entire life, but who sacrifice promising careers or lots of good worldly pursuits in order to give life to their children. What tremendous witnesses they are to all those moms who, if it really came down to it, would die 1,000 times over to save the lives of their children. No wonder why God compares His love to the love of a mom. Because maternal love is an icon of God's divine love. The church, which is called to proclaim the fullness of the truth of the gospel, which is called not only to announce, but to live and help others to live and love the Lord's new and greatest commandment, to love others by His own standard, has the duty to proclaim the good news about maternal love and to value motherhood just as much as God does. This is an urgent task today, because as I mentioned before, most people no longer recognize in the image of a mother and her children the virtue of love. They don't fail to see in a mother's love the greatest human analogy of divine love. And there are various reasons why this is the case, but the fundamental one is because of the damage done by a radical feminist ideology that in claiming to advance the good of woman is actually and brutally harming women, because it treats women and it treats motherhood not as a great blessing, but almost as a curse. Where do we see this? I see it all the time at the United Nations, representing the Holy Father before the nations of the world. There are many nations, including sadly our own, that are claiming that women's cause will never be advanced unless we give, and here's the euphemism, full sexual and reproductive health and rights. Which means women will never become happy unless they've got the right, rather than to love the child growing in their womb, because every time a woman is pregnant, she's already a mom, but to end the life of the child growing in the womb. Likewise with contraception. What's contraception? Both male and female contraception. It's saying that the paternal meaning of a man's masculinity, his ability to become a dad, or the maternal meaning of a woman's femininity, is something that should be technologically treated the same way we would treat cancer growing in our body, with either chemical means or surgical means. It's the exact opposite of what we celebrate on Mother's Day and Father's Day. Jesus tells us that the gospel will always be opposed. When He came and loved us like this, people were clamoring for His crucifixion. And we shouldn't be surprised when we proclaim the gospel of the greatness of motherhood, the gospel of life, the gospel of love, that there are going to be people who oppose it. We need to have courage to celebrate what we do today, not just on the second Sunday of May, but to celebrate it 365 days a year, and never to cease saying what God wants us to echo, that motherhood is a great gift. Yes, it's a challenge. Yes, it's hard. Moms here don't need me to tell that. Yes, some of the times it's a real heavy cross, but it is a means by which women learn how to love in God's school and become the professors of love for the school of the world. No one has any greater love than to lay down one's life for others. And this is the essence of motherhood. True respect for woman starts with accepting, indeed reverencing woman according to all aspects of her humanity. It involves creating the conditions for her to live freely and fully, without discrimination, according to what St. John Paul II famously called the feminine genius, his expression to highlight woman's special wisdom in caring for the intrinsic dignity of everyone, in nurturing life and love, in developing others' gifts as they live out the maternal meaning of their femininity. When women are given the opportunity to thrive in full appreciation for all their talents and potential, all of society benefits. And Pope Francis is calling us all to move beyond a culture in which the unique value and dignity of motherhood is insufficiently defended, appreciated, and advanced, leaving women culturally and legally in a position to choose between their intellectual and professional development and their personal growth as wives and moms, where their often invisible and heroic sacrifice is disparaged as an antiquated and unwholesome model of feminine life. Let's call a spade. Humanity owes its survival to the choice women make, not just to welcome children, but to raise them to be virtuous and authentically human. Mothers give children the trust and security they need to develop their personal identity and positive social bonds. The future of the world passes by way of the family. That means that the future of humanity is dependent on mothers making the family strong, something that in turn hinges on society strengthening women for this service in making their homes schools of humanity, socialization, love, and life. Today, as we thank God for the gift of our mothers, both living and deceased, we ask Him for the strength to fortify our appreciation for the gift of motherhood and make us all courageous apostles in defending and proclaiming this good news in the midst of a culture in which so many others don't see or appreciate it. As we prepare to receive the full outpouring of the love of the one who said, "No one has greater love than to lay down his life for his friends." As we prepare to receive his body and blood given for us, we ask him for the grace in receiving this love to be so transformed by it that we will imitate him in so many mothers in learning how to love others the same self-sacrificial, most beautiful and saving way. Jesus says, "This is my body given out of love for you." So many moms have said, "This is my body, this is my heart, these are my hands, these are my breasts, this is my womb, this is all I am and have given out of love for you." May we never cease to thank God for that gift and to thank them for that gift. And may we become that gift's unending reverberation. Praise be Jesus Christ.